You're now listening to the Elevated Conversations podcast, brought to you by me, Colby Jeffers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Elevated Conversations podcast. We have a special Q&A episode today where I'm going to be diving into some of the questions I was sent by fans and friends on social media. But before I do that, I wanted to take an opportunity on this podcast just to share a special announcement that depending on when you're listening to this, there is only a little bit of time left to sign up for what I'm calling the Created Noble Experience or Created Noble Album Experience. And what that is it's actually one of my favorite parts of my creative process. I've done this a couple of times on my last two releases where basically I create and curate a digital experience for you to really dive deeper into my project. So how it works is you sign up via email. If you'd like to sign up, you just go to colbyjeffers.com. If you're on my Facebook or Instagram, you can easily find it there as well. And you just go onto the page, put in your name and email and sign up. And that way I'm, you know, only getting people that are like truly interested in it. And then what'll happen is starting on October 28th, you're basically going to get a daily email over 4 days that is going to give you access to a private page on my website that only people that sign up will be able to see. And on that page, you're going to get a bunch of really cool content related to music on my new Created Noble album, which is set to release on November 3rd. And that includes like the song lyrics, the actual song, obviously, so you can listen to it, read the lyrics along with it, but also a lot more. You get a free download of the song early. You also get exclusive bonus content. I dive into the story behind every song. I really lay it all out there because, and essentially, the reason I do this is I feel like I love getting this type of content from artists that I listen to. So I'm like, well, why wouldn't I want to share this with people that like my music, right? And it just allows you to really dive deeper and appreciate the song so much more, and also just connect more as artist and listener. So it's something I really enjoy. It's one of my favorite parts of the process. So so that's going on right now. But you do have to sign up in order to participate. So please do that. The Created Noble Album Experience. It starts October 28th. Make sure you sign up beforehand. Again, just go to colbyjeffers.com. colbyjeffers.com to sign up. And I hope you'll be a part of it and really enjoy it. So, okay, with that out of the way, we're going to do a little Q&A. And I've done this a couple of times in the past. People have said they really enjoyed it. It's been a while since I've done it. So I thought it'd be a cool way to get the podcast going. So we're just going to jump in kind of randomly here. And just, I wrote down all the questions I got asked. I haven't really thought too much about them. So I'm going to kind of just answer them off the top of the dome here. They were all related to music. So I said, ask me music related questions. And I got about 10 or so questions. So we're just going to dive in and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So we're going to start off with, this was cool. Some of my former students from Acclaim Academy hopped on here and asked me some questions. So I'm going to start off with them, with the young ones. So my dude Isaac said, what's your favorite song? That's a great question. That's a tough one. Let's see. It's hard for me to have when people ask like, what's your, top five this or top five that, I'm like, honestly, I struggle with those kind of things. I don't feel like I have like songs or pieces of content that just like solidify themselves in the top rank. I'm more of like an in the moment kind of person. I would say from when I was younger, Lose Yourself by Eminem, that was definitely one of my favorite songs. Like I memorized the whole thing. I could rap it, from the beginning to the end off the, from memory. So that was a song I really liked, back in the day, I would say. One of my favorite artists currently, Andy Mineo, he just dropped a new album called Neverland 2. He's got some really cool songs on there. I like this song called Been About It. He just dropped a music video for it. That's pretty cool. So I would say that's one of my favorite songs at the moment. So that's a tough one. I guess that's a tough one for me to answer, but I'll just go with those. I'll say Lose Yourself was like my favorite, young Colby song that I got really into. And I think that was one of the first songs where I really put on like a rapper persona where like I rapped the song that and The Way I Am by Eminem. Those two songs, like I would get really into it and just spit it, as if I was the one who came up with the song. So we'll just go with those for now. But definitely, my favorite is always changing. which I'm sure that says something about me as well. Let's see. Let's go to the next one. So hopefully that satisfies your question, Isaac. Let's go next to Mark Thien, another former student. Now he's in high school. He asked, how do you come up with the lyrics to your music? Okay, that's a great question. So yeah, for me, I have a pretty, I guess, refined process at this point now that I've, you know, written a good handful of songs. And so, it can change a bit here and there, but I would say generally it's a pretty similar process. So normally, for me, the first step is always, some type of song concept. Like I'll be inspired by let's take, one of my recent releases. For example, I just dropped a song called New World. It's on actually the Created Noble album that's going to drop. It was released early as a single earlier in the summer. And essentially I was actually writing a blog, post for what, just to share some other music. And I came across this song by this rapper named E40, legendary, rapper from the Bay Area, who's just been, you know, in the hip hop game for a long time, and he's still staying relevant, which is super impressive. He has a song called Choices, and most people are, either if they're fans of hip hop, they're familiar with it for the song. And, a lot of other people are also familiar with it because it kind of was used, I think, like on a TikTok trend, because he basically goes back and forth. He goes, nope, yep, nope, yep. And then the rap lyrics, conform to that back and forth. And it's basically him, you know, kind of talking about, okay, if you're an OG, you know, rapper, what are the things that you would do? And those go with the yup. And then what are the things that you wouldn't do? And those go with the nope. And I just thought, like, wow, that's such a simple thing, but so powerful. And it's also so unique. Like, there's not other songs, you know, like that. And so, and this is always a tough thing, right? Like getting inspired and but also not wanting to like copycat or bite, you know, someone else's style or whatever. But I just thought, wow, that's really cool. Okay, can I take that and use that as inspiration? So that's like the first step. I get inspired by a concept. And for me, where I, like in that particular example, I was like, okay, how do I apply this to my own reality? How do I make this authentic and sincere to myself, which is obviously really important in something that you create, especially in hip hop. You know, you got to be true to yourself. And so, you know, for me, I'm a member of the Baha'i Faith. I'm really active in, you know, community building and trying to change the world, make it a better place. Like that's the spirit behind most of my music. So I'm often trying to, any concept that I take in, I always try to channel it in that way. Like, how can I use this to positively transform or raise consciousness or inspire someone? So I kind of thought, okay, well, in the Baha'i writings in particular, it talks a lot about how there's this old world that we're currently living in. And a lot of the structures and institutions that it has don't serve the needs of humanity today. And a lot of the Baha'i teachings are about building a new world. And it often actually refers to that. There's even a quote that says, you know, the old world is going to be rolled up and a new world is going to be rolled out. And so I basically took that concept and I went, need it, leave it. I just kind of did a back and forth with those two phrases. And then I was able to then come up with a song. So essentially starting off with a concept, then kind of like going from there. So from there, there's a few other key steps. So I need to find an instrumental. I often find the instrumental before I start writing lyrics, just because I like to write the style and the lyrics to the beat. And the process for that is also pretty simple. I'm very much based on like the vibe of the beat. So I'll look for, you know, I'll search, you know, chill hip hop vibes or uplifting or inspiring hip hop beats. I mean, sorry. And I'll just kind of go online. I have a few different websites I like. Sometimes I'll just go on YouTube and then that'll help me find a different producer or whatever. And yeah, so then I find a beat. Once I have the concept and the beat, then I'll get to like, okay, lyrically, how do I want to get inspired? And again, for me, I have a pretty, you know, similar process where I'll do some research. I'll go dive into like the Baha'i writings, the Baha'i scriptures, as well as just, you know, learning in general about whatever the topic is that I'm interested in. So for example, again, just to use this New World song as an example, I went to the Baha'i writings and looked up what are all the quotes that refer to building a new world. And then I was just doing some research on what are some of the institutions that are failing in society. And then I also reflect on my own experience. And then I kind of brainstorm. That's when I start writing a lot of stuff now, but not lyrically yet. I just write down ideas. So like in that song, you know, okay, what are the old institutions that, you know, we want to have go away? Well, for me, like, you know, the healthcare system, I've had a lot of like challenging issues with that, or I've heard of like how it's like the biggest cause of debt for people is healthcare bills, or one of the biggest causes of debt, which is terrible. So, okay. Like that's one thing I wanted to talk about. Obviously police brutality and, you know, white supremacy, those are things that are like, have been at, you know, in terms of our country, the United States, and even globally, they are at the root of so many problems, but it's really surfacing, I think, like consciousness on it over the last couple of years in particular. So that was something I wanted to include in there. And obviously there was a lot more that I included on there. So I just kind of jotted down all these ideas. And then I get to starting to actually writing the lyrics. So there's a lot that goes into it before I just start writing, a lot of preparation, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, brainstorming. And then I start writing and I have all that stuff kind of documented. I normally have a Google Doc that I create, you know, list it all out, and then I'll start writing the lyrics. And when I actually write the lyrics, it's often, you know, I'll try to come up with a line here, rhyme with it. I use rhyming dictionaries online. Those are super helpful. Like whenever I get stuck on a rhyme, and then it's just a process of refinement that can take sometimes up to a few weeks or months. Sometimes it's within a few hours, just kind of depends on how much creativity is flowing. And also if I have like a hard deadline I'm trying to meet. And then I'll just, yeah, I'll kind of practice the lyrics, see how it flows with the beat, until, you know, until I'm finished writing basically. So that's pretty much my process, honestly. So a lot of good that goes into the process of writing lyrics, for me in particular, but I pretty much follow that same flow almost every time now that I write a song. So So great question, Martin. Hopefully that answers your question in detail. And then I had one other student, Yamilet, who came in with a question. She said, what's your favorite genre? And so for that one, hands down, hip hop, you know, musically would be my favorite genre. I would say I listen to hip hop almost exclusively. When I was younger, I did listen to a lot of alternative rock as well when I was like in high school. But I you know, don't listen to that so much anymore. And then I'm also a fan of pop. I used to listen to probably a lot more pop, but I would say I tend to like hip hop and pop the most. Those are the two genres I can like listen to most easily and just enjoy it off the bat. And it's interesting, little side note, I read a book once about music and like music in the brain. And in there, I learned that in your younger years, like, you know, adolescence and in youth years, that's when your brain kind of develops its enjoyment or love for particular styles of music. And it's actually really difficult, it said, for you to enjoy other genres that you didn't develop a love for during that age later on. It actually requires like conscious effort. So, which is like totally true. I can totally see that. So like I can appreciate another genre, but I have to consciously be trying to appreciate it. If I just listen to it and I don't already like it, like if it's not one of those three genres, it's kind of hard for me just to like get into it. But if I want to, I can, but it takes conscious effort. But the ones that I can just listen to easily and just get into it would be hip hop, alternative rock, and pop, but in particular hip hop, and more specifically within the like subgenres of hip hop. At this point, I would say I almost exclusively listen to like mainly Christian hip hop artists. There's obviously, as a member of the Baha'i faith, there are some Baha'i hip hop artists. No, I don't think there's any that are like crazy mainstream. So that's more of an underground, but I definitely dig up that. And I have a lot of friends that are putting out Baha'i inspired hip hop and I'm like all about it. So if they drop a project, I'm the first one listening to it. Like right now, my dude, Jose Villanueva Jr., new friend that I met who invited me onto his album, been loving his project. So been listening to his project like every day while I work out for the past few days, actually. So shout out to him. So I would say like favorite subgenres would be kind of anything spiritually inspired, hip hop. And then, yeah, anything that's more kind of conscious in nature, you know, talking about what's going on in society. And of course I do like to stay current, you know, just on hip hop in general. So if there's like a big track or, you know, big album that drops, I'll definitely listen to it. But I would say in particular, I like to go for people that are putting out like spiritually focused music just because that's what I'm putting out. So I tend to be most inspired by that type of music personally. So yeah, so that's my favorite genre and subgenre as well. So yeah, so shout out again to Isaac Martin and Yamilet for hopping in the questions. Thank you guys. Hope you guys are all doing well back at school. Okay, who should we jump to next? There was a few like non-related music questions. I said, ask me a music question, but we'll jump into those anyway. Andrea Otto, a Baha'i friend here in my local Sunny Slope community of Phoenix, asked, are you happy? Thank you. Very sweet question. I think I got asked that on one of the last Q&As as well. And I think I mentioned this too, but just for the sake of it, that's a really, really great question. And that's a question that Abdu'l-Bahá, one of the central figures of the Baha'i faith, he would always often ask people that, are you happy? Instead of like, how are you? Just because it kind of focused their attention on just, yeah, the way that their spirit felt at the moment. So yeah, I would say right now I definitely feel happy. I really feel, it's interesting. Like whenever I'm working on a music project that requires a lot of attention, and especially now in my life where there's just so much on my plate, I can tend to get a little stressed out or overwhelmed, but, yeah, I would say currently it's not in a way right where I don't still feel happy. So I really try to stay focused on the fact that it's a blessing, everything that I'm, you know, focused on and that I have on my plate. It's all good stuff and it all, you know, fits together in some way or another. So, yeah, so I'm definitely feeling happy about life and I'm really excited for this album to come out. And, that always brings lots of joy and confirmations, especially when I get to hear what people think of it. So I'm very kind of happy anticipating kind of what's going to be going on with that. So thank you, Andrea. Very sweet question for you to ask. Okay, let's keep it moving. This one was kind of random. This was musically related. Vitus Reed, a friend I met online, who's an amazing guy out in Florida. He's a newscaster, actually, weatherman. He asked bass or treble, which I was not entirely sure what that meant, if it was like, what type of sound do I like? So I'm not really sure how to answer that one, but I'm going to say, how about I'll answer it in terms of, I took chorus in, or choir, I think it was in seventh grade, at Shea Middle School. I was in the choir class as an elective. I think it was a required elective. And I'm pretty sure I was a baritone was my vocal range. So we'll answer with that. I'll say I'm a baritone. And that was an interesting class. Yeah. Probably one of my first exposures to music. And it wasn't the most, encouraging class, but we can save that for another time. But yeah, I did get some experience singing in that class. So, and I was a baritone. So we'll go with that. All right. Let's see what else we got. Okay. So we got, a friend. I don't even actually know this person's name. I just know their Instagram handle, which is at @S_MO_ And, I think this is also a nature of like, you know, being someone that puts out art publicly, is you just end up, you know, getting friends and contacts from kind of all over the world that come across your stuff. So this is a friend I just met on Instagram. He's a member of the Baha'i faith. He seems to be into naturopathic medicine, which is awesome. My mom is actually a naturopathic doctor as well. So shout out to that. He asked me, where are you from? So, yeah, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona. I've pretty much lived here my entire life. I did an internship in Chicago, for 3 months, several years ago when I was just out of college. But other than that, I've lived in Phoenix my entire life. I've kind of bounced around different parts of Phoenix, but have been in this city my entire life. So yeah, so thanks for asking. I'm sure most of you probably know that, but in case you didn't, there you go. I'm from Phoenix AZ. So thank you for that question. Okay. Pete Hiller from South Dakota, another friend I met through just my music, you know, kind of getting spread, met him on Facebook. He's from, like I said, South Dakota. He asked, who did you listen to when growing up? Okay. Another great question. So kind of going back into my younger years. Similarly, like, again, I know some people kind of have like, they're like diehard fans about, you know, of certain artists or certain groups. I would say like when I was younger, I didn't necessarily develop that type of like relationship with a lot of artists where I was like, man, I'm all about this particular artist. I was more like, you know, just would kind of follow whatever was trendy. Honestly, like I would watch, you know, MTV, Total Request Live, when I would get home from school, when in middle school and high school, and just kind of listen to whatever was popular at the time. So I wouldn't say I became more like conscious and intentional about who I was listening to until I became a bit older. But so yeah, I listened to just a lot of, you know, hip hop, pop and alternative rock, but mainly like mainstream stuff. I wasn't really trying to dig into anything underground or whatnot. And again, I didn't necessarily follow anyone in particular that intensely, but I would say in terms of hip hop, when I was getting more into it and like kind of starting to like actually look up lyrics and wanting to rap along with stuff in terms of like who influenced me. So Eminem was definitely a big one. I was really into him when I was in high school. I don't listen to him so much anymore, but, you know, a few of his albums I got really into, like I said, you know, Lose Yourself was a track I really, really liked. And then Tupac was another artist. I just thought like his song Changes. I remember that was a song that I just fell in love with. So then that kind of got me going into his like older catalog. This was all, you know, I think posthumous after he had, after he passed away. But I got really into him, and I just really loved the kind of the energy. And he obviously was very conscious in a lot of his lyrics as well. Definitely influenced by him a lot. And then, Chamillionaire was another artist I really got into. He was also like, you know, very much on the conscious side, lyrically. So I got really into his music as well in like my later high school, early college years. So I would say those three, influenced me in particular, like artists where I really tried going through like their whole catalog of music, rather than just, oh, here's a new hit that's out, let me go check this song out, which was how I mainly consume music. So I just listened to probably whatever mainstream, you know, kind of commercialized music was getting put out. I was very much influenced by that. But like I said, now that I'm older, and once I started being more conscious about like the music that I guess filtering, like, okay, I want to listen to this, I don't want to listen to this, I'm not just necessarily listening to what was being put in front of me. That's when I think I started kind of really gravitating to certain artists, which, nowadays, like, yeah, like I said earlier, there's just a lot of, you know, certain artists that I just anticipate their releases, and I'll listen to their whole album. I'll look at the lyrics, really dive into it, you know, look up additional content, whatnot. So yeah, but hopefully that answers your question in terms of when I was growing up, was just kind of whatever was put in front of me in those few genres. Okay, let's see. My cousin Ian Jeffers hopped in. Shout out to Ian. He was just out in Phoenix recently. He lives over in California. He said, "What is your favorite key to play in?" And yeah, so that's also a great question, and one that I can't necessarily answer very very accurately. So I think I've shared this in previous episodes, but musically, I'm not very well educated in terms of just like the actual theory of music. I took a few classes in community college, actually after I had gotten my degree in separate subject, just to kind of like, yeah, feel like I could better understand what I was doing with music. But from what I do know, I would say I gravitate more towards like major keys, not necessarily a specific, you know, note, but like major keys, and which tend to be more on the, I guess, kind of like uplifting, inspiring side. But with that said, I think for me, it's more about what is the vibe of my song? Is my song more of a down kind of song, or is it more of an uplifting, inspiring kind of song? Is it more of a reflective song? And then that tends to drive what key I listen to. But when I find a beat, I don't necessarily know what key it's in. Like, I'm not like, oh yeah, this is B minor right here. I honestly have no idea. I just listen to it, and I would very much more describe it of, oh, this is a sad type of beat. This is a uplifting type of beat. And I actually wish I knew better, like how to like identify keys. I'm really impressed by people that can do that. But yeah, so can't really answer that very well. I wish I knew, actually. That'd be kind of cool. It'd be cool to like listen through all of my published work and then identify what key every single like song is in, and then see if there is a trend or pattern. So if someone knows how to do that, hit me up, and then we can more accurately answer that question. Like, what is actually my favorite key? Because there probably is an answer to that, based on the music that I've put out so far. So maybe that's a to be determined if someone has the desire to help me out with that. Let's see. There's a couple more on here. Let's see. Who have I not gotten to yet? Okay. Similar to that, my dude, Jamal, another, Baha'i friend I met, internationally just from, putting out music. He asked me, what's my favorite musical instrument? So yeah, a lot of you guys really went in on the music questions. And for that one, again, you know, I don't necessarily would say I have just an instrument that it's like, oh, I'm really in love with this instrument. I actually don't know how to play any instruments proficiently. Which is also just really interesting because I make music as one of my top passions, and people often like refer to me as a musician and whatnot, which is always something I always kind of feel like, am I a fraud? Like, you know, like I'm not, am I a musician? Like all I really do is like, I just rap and sometimes sing, over, you know, music that other people create and I add to it. But I guess, you know, I'm still technically creating music in that way. So I try not to you know, get down on myself too much. But yeah, like I don't actually know how to play any instruments proficiently. So, I mean, the instruments that I'm most exposed to are like the drums, you know, piano, guitar, obviously, just in, you know, most, I guess, popular type of music. So I like those instruments. I've tried, I did get piano lessons as a little kid, and just, yeah, wasn't that into it. I tried learning how to play guitar briefly and was just, yeah, not very good at it. I do enjoy, you know, beating on the drums, from time to time. I've tried learning how to beatbox. I can do it at a super rudimentary elementary level, but not that great at it, but I can do it okay. So yeah, I mean, I don't really have necessarily a favorite in terms of playing it, but I appreciate all instruments. I think all instruments are cool. Just this idea of like a sound and then a progression of notes being able to create something pleasing to your ear. Like, I just think that's really cool, really dope. So I appreciate all instruments, but I don't necessarily have a favorite instrument, that I would say like, oh, I love the way that that particular, you know, instrument sounds. But yeah, so anyway, but I do appreciate the question. Hopefully that gives some insight. Okay, we got a couple more on here. Hopefully you guys are finding this interesting. So okay, oh, this was not actually a question, but my man Gary Boivin, a Baha'i up in Prescott, who I do know personally, answered my little questionnaire and said, your music was part of today's devotional hosted by Emily Ternis. Emily Ternis is another Baha'i who I met. She lives up in Bullhead City. We did some really fun service together. We've done some, I should say, really fun service, particularly with serving junior youth. And I guess she included my song Change the World on her, what I'm guessing was a Zoom devotional, which is something that a lot of Baha'is have been doing since COVID, just getting on Zoom and, you know, sharing prayers and quotes and songs with each other. So, hey, that's awesome. Good to hear. And I'm always so inspired to hear when my music is shared in those spaces. I hope it provides some encouragement and uplifts the hearts. So thank you, Emily, for sharing the music. And thank you, Gary, for reporting back on that. Hope you both are doing well, to stalwart servants of the Baha'i cause, and have been doing a lot of great stuff for the Baha'i faith and humanity for a number of years. So thank you both for your service. And okay, then we got, oh, two more. So these are very similar. Okay, so whose rap style influences you the most? That's from my dude, Adam Rooney from San Antonio, Texas. Another friend I've met through just social media, through, you know, sharing of music. He asks again, whose rap style influences you the most? That's another tough one for me to say. A lot of people have said that I sound like Eminem, which makes sense. I think a lot of times, like in terms of influence, there's like subconscious influence and then there's conscious influence. So I would say subconsciously, like I think Eminem probably is the top one, just because I listened to him. And like I said, him and Tupac, I like went through their whole discography and listened to a lot of their music and then would rap along. I would look up lyrics and rap along. So I think that practice of doing that probably just influenced, like, you know, where, how I flow on the beat and where I emphasize certain things and how I write lyrics. Cause also both of them were very, very much into storytelling, which is something that I'm also really drawn to. And they are both like really clear in their rap delivery. Some rappers are like kind of more abstract. I'm like, where you don't exactly know what they're saying, like what they're trying to say, but their like rhyme flow might be really sick. Other artists are like really into, you know, wordplay and stuff like that, which Eminem and Tupac did do some of that. But to me, they're both just like really clear in what they were communicating, which is something that I think naturally I am, just in general. I like to be really clear in what I communicate as a human. But I think, you know, lyrically as well, my style is to make sure, like, I don't ever want you to listen to a song and be like, what was he saying? Like, I want it to be really clear. Colby was saying this in the song. His message was this. Which I think Eminem and Tupac were very much in that way as well. So I would say both of them really influenced me in that way. And then, yeah, I think more modern, not modern, but more recently, I should say. Yeah, like I listen to a lot of Christian inspired artists. So Andy Mineo and Lecrae are kind of like, I would say, at the top of that list. But there's a lot of other artists. Ty Brazell is someone that I really like. KB is another artist I really like. Pretty much everyone from the Reach Records group I listen to a lot. And so their styles, in terms of like trying to be, you know, trying to be like hip and cool and have a cool flow and always grow, but also have a message that's like really uplifting and inspiring. In terms of that, that really influences me as well. And then of course, yeah, from a Baha'i perspective, you've got, you know, Kareem Rushdie, big, you know, inspiration to me. My dude Emiliano, aka Diver Soul, had both of them on the podcast. Lots of other artists that I could, you know, go off and list off. They all inspire me. Anytime a new Baha'i inspired music project comes out, like, it's the first thing I listen to. It's like, I got to listen to this right now. And it always gives me inspiration of like seeing Baha'is figure out how to put the Baha'i teachings and principles and message into a hip hop song. And I'm always looking for like, okay, what are new ways? What are new styles of how people are doing it? So that super, very much, I should say, influences me in terms of my rap style. So I'm constantly trying to grow, constantly trying to evolve. I've also studied, like there's a couple of really cool books on how to rap that like more dive into it as a, like theoretically, like here's what rappers are doing. And that I'm always trying to learn and grow. So I'd say like over the years, you know, I've gone from like just, yeah, trying to communicate a message and stay on beat to like, okay, let me do more advanced flows and rhyme styles. And then now I've been really getting into like, how do I play with words more effectively? And also I've been like playing more with melodies now, melodic rap. So constantly trying to grow and, you know, just evolve as an artist as well. So I would say I'm influenced by any rap, and I'm open to growing and learning all the time, because I think that's how you just stay current and make more and more beautiful, you know, art. So so that's that. And then so thank you again, Adam, for that question. And then the last question here, we got Sana Honarmand from Australia, she's been super supportive of my music since she discovered it. She asked me, what got you into rapping? And so that's another really, really great question. And thank you for asking that, Senna. I would say what got me into rapping, like at a really simple level, it was just a super, that's a new word, super popular art form when I was a young person. So I listened to it a lot, growing up. And I think I was just attracted to the power of it. And I think, yeah, just this feeling of like feeling really empowered and strong and like being able to express a very intense message, was something that I was really drawn to. And so like, again, like I said, I would rap along with the lyrics to these, to specific artists. And that's when I started rapping, although I wasn't making my own music. And then really like making my own music was just something that I experimented with, when I was in my like early 20s. And then, I would say when I started seeing myself as a rapper was my experience with Awu in Cameroon. We made this album, Change the World. It was my first album that we made together. And in that experience, people were saying that I was a rapper. That was the first time anyone called me a rapper. Like the actual music producer, Dobie, that we went and recorded with, he was like, oh, so you're a rapper. And I remember at first I was kind of like, well, no, not really. He's like, no, you're a rapper. Like, don't doubt yourself. And that was just really encouraging. And still to this day, I think because of my background and whatnot, like whenever people know that, like learn that I write music, it's not like, oh, cool. It's like, oh, really? People are surprised at it. And so it's still something that's like a word like, oh, you're a rapper. It's a word that I'm still like learning how to fully embrace it and not feel uncomfortable about like, I am a rapper. That is something that I do. It's one of my biggest passions. But I think it started at that time when it was like, okay, I am. And just getting that validation, I guess, from someone that was in music, was really empowering for me to really like, okay, I'm a rapper. And then like getting into and continuing to rap. Because I think a lot of people might experiment, might do it for fun sometime, but they don't go all in. Whereas now I'm like, on my fifth album. So at this point, it's like, okay, like I'm doing this thing. And I think it's just been like, for me, what's kept me in it, which wasn't necessarily your question, but what's kept me in it is seeing that I can keep growing, kind of to the last question. Like I feel like I haven't plateaued still. Like every single song or project I've put out, there's growth occurring. And I think that's something that just keeps you driven, like this continual drive for excellence. And then of course, also seeing the impact that what I create has on people. So of course, not everyone likes my music. There are some people that, don't enjoy it, particularly when I'm like marketing it to a wider audience that don't know me at all personally. Because obviously if someone knows me personally, like they're more likely to like it, which is, I think, also why I'm doing this whole Created Noble thing. It's like, it's not just about this like separated relationship, that most of the time artists and listeners have. I feel like there should be more of a friendship relationship between, artist and listener. Because I think it just, it adds more appreciation both ways. But back to what I was saying is like, not everyone does like my music, but I would say the majority of people that do listen to it tend to have positive feedback. And sometimes like they're very touched, you know, they're very like, they'll just share like, wow, this moved me so much, or wow, this has me feeling so inspired. And that is so encouraging when you're like, wow, like this thing that I created had this positive effect on someone. That's incredible. You know, so that also makes you want to do it again, because that's what we're, you know, designed to do. We're designed to be of service and help other people. So I think knowing that music is a vehicle for me to be able to do that is something that keeps me going in the art form. So God willing, I'll be able to keep evolving, keep growing, and also, you know, hopefully keep inspiring people. And that'll keep me in the game of rap. So So I think that was everyone that asked the question. So thank you to all of you who asked the question. For all of you who are still listening, thank you for sticking on. And I hope that you found all these answers interesting. And yeah, I want to be able to do this. You know, I think this is a fun kind of way just for you to get to know me better, and for me to also to kind of connect and shout out, you know, people that are engaging with me on social media, in my music and in my podcast. So appreciate that. And I'll try to do this on the more regular. So anyway, again, just as a reminder, the Created Noble Experience is starting on October 28th. If you're listening before that date, make sure to go sign up at colbyjeffers.com. You just simply sign up with your name and email. And maybe I'll just share what is the Created Noble Experience in case you're still on the fence about it. So again, it's straight from the website. It's a personal deep dive into my upcoming album, Created Noble. It'll be delivered through a private page on my website if you sign up. Does it cost money? No, it's totally free. You just sign up with your name and email. That's it. When is it? It's going to be October 28th through the 31st. So it'll be 4 days, and you'll get a daily email each morning with an access link to a private page that'll link you out to a couple of the songs and all the cool content that you get with it. Why should you sign up? I've already mentioned this, but basically, you know, I really, really enjoy it, and it's just a really fun thing to do. So that, but also I would say that in today's world, most music that we consume is, I feel, really superficial. It's very superficial. You listen to it, you move on. You often don't even really connect with the artist. So it's like totally detached what's going on. And my goal is that the album experience connects us more closely as artists and fan. Like, I want to know how the music is impacting you. And I want to be able to interact with you about it. And also so that you can appreciate the depth of the music, because there's so much that goes into a song. Like, it's not just like I wake up in the morning, write a song and put it out. Like, there's so much that goes into it, as I was sharing before. So I want you to feel that. I want you to like really see the divine power behind this creative expression. And I want to share that inspiration by, you know, being able to kind of vibe back and forth with everyone that's listening to the music. So this is one of the best ways I've noticed or learned how to facilitate that. And then what do you get? So for signing up, you get a free digital copy of the album before it's released publicly, which will be, God willing, on November 3rd, the song lyrics, the story behind every song, some exclusive extra content. And then I've printed up some merch, some Created Noble merch. So you'll be the first to be able to get your hands on that. And it'll be probably with a special deal. I'm still crafting that right now. And then what is the Created Noble album? In case you don't know, most of you probably do know, but it's my fifth album. It's focused on being a dad, on obviously the virtue of nobility, and of course, contributing to the betterment of the world. Those are the themes that really run through it. So that's the Created Noble album experience. So please make sure to go sign up for that, be a part of it. Really, really appreciate it. So anyway, so this has been the Elevated Conversations podcast. Thank you everyone who asked a question, and for everyone who tunes in and listens, I hope this is something that uplifts your day and makes you happy. All right, I will see you all on the next episode. Peace.